Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush. And to my left, again, is Susan Koshvar. She tried to leave, but we put this ankle bracelet on, and she gets she gets about 10 feet away and starts getting the shock. It's very uncomfortable, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
And you also can't bark. Have you noticed this?
No, I haven't tried, but
if you try to bark, also you're going to experience some pain. I just want you to know we're doing this for your own good. We got them from Polis. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more Hollywood. Would you like to?
Yes. Okay. A couple more things.
What do you got?
Well, you know, we were talking about Hollywood having to shut down now and their productions, like everyone else, like the rest of us, be all locked in. And they're saying, of course, as you pointed out, that their hospitals are supposedly overrun. But I think there's another reason why they shut down.
Why?
Well, we had that little video that went viral probably 2 weeks ago. That restaurant owner who was crying, she had jumped through all of the health department hoops, you know, in terms of changing the inside of her restaurant and distancing and stuff like that. And then new regulations came out, and she had to, at her own expense, set up an outdoor area where people could eat.
One second. I want to say those words again. At her own expense.
Yeah.
And so here, government shuts her down, and then government doesn't give her a dime to adapt to it.
Nope.
Continue on. Sorry, I just wanted to say that.
Yep, so she had to drag her tables outside and set up a tent, you know, and it has to have so much airflow, which means probably California's not too cold right now, but still. So she set up heat lamps, all this stuff. Well, not, I don't know, 50 feet from her restaurant, which was then shut down after she jumped through all these hoops because all the restaurants are shut down. Not 50 feet away was this gigantic tent with all these tables where lunch was going to be served for a movie production crew. It looked just like her restaurant. 50 feet away, they set up the same thing. But she can't be open. And she's going broke. She's losing everything.
You see, what I would have done, and I'm serious, I'm not just trying to sound like a nice guy, I would have told these Hollywood producers, yes, you can keep filming, but only if you serve your people from these local restaurants that are right next door.
One would think. But, you know,
take care of them. Those
restaurants serving outside, these business owners who've been serving customers forever, who will get sued, by the way, if they make customers sick, they're not healthy. But this catering company can set up this big tent and serve the Hollywood crew. And I think they got so much blowback from that one woman's video. I mean, one talk about one person making a difference. I think that's why they shut them down. So maybe that pressure on that movie production company, those movie studios being shut down now, maybe that will change things, but who knows?
Oh gosh, anything that would change it would make me very happy right now because I'm going out of my mind. But hey, on line one we've got Dell, who has a question about AMC theaters. Dell, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good, huh, Susan?
Hi, Dell.
I was reading an article last week where the AMC theaters is a China-owned corporation.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's probably true.
What are they trying to do? What was that, Dell?
China.
Oh, they're owned by China.
AMC movie. They're owned by China Corporation.
Well, you know, I would think, I'm sure China at least has a good stake in them, but I don't know if it's a controlling interest or not, but that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, they. I was reading an article listing all the different big corporations that's got Chinese influence and stuff like that. AMC caught my mind. They're totally owned by China.
Well, let's say that's the case. And let me ask both of you this, and Susan, I'll ask you first. If China owns AMC or has a huge stake in it, how can AMC go under when China's thriving right now?
Oh, they may not then. And they're
because they're saying they're going to go bankrupt and they're going to go belly up. Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe that's just what they're saying. I don't know. But that's, you know, maybe they just propaganda they're putting out. It's hard to tell.
What do you think, Dell? If AMC is largely owned by China, do you think China keeps them afloat until things rev up again?
Well, I know they're all shut down, but it's a possibility. They probably got the money to keep them afloat, other than, you know, until they open up.
Well, I hope that's not. I mean, I hope they open up, but I hope China isn't the one benefiting from it, because China unleashed this virus on the world, and in my opinion, folks, they don't deserve a dime.
No, and all of the people, the staff that are out of work, that's lots and lots of people.
Yeah. Okay, great call. Dell, you got anything else, sir?
No, there was several large, I forget all of them, but there were several large corporations. It was surprising that they had China influence with them.
Oh, China has their clutches in so much of America right now. It's crazy.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
All right, Dell, thank you so much.
You too. Have a good one.
You bet.
Talking to you, Susan.
You too, Dell.
Call back again, sir.
Bye-bye.
You know, he makes a great point. I mean, if China is invested in these companies, and I believe certainly to an extent they are, just because they're everywhere.
Yep.
And if China is invested, if China owns so much of the companies that are putting out the product, and if they own the places where the product is displayed, is there any conflict there?
Well, you know, in a free market there wouldn't be, but we're talking about another country who, you know, seeks to do harm to the United States. So, yes, that would be a terrible conflict.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, they can affect jobs here right in America by basically saying we're going to, you know, either flood the product out there or we're going to hold it back, basically like OPEC and oil.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to flood it out there or we're going to hold it back, and that's going to make the product rise or fall in value, and we can crush other distributors.
Yep, the other distributors, they can...
Regal's gone, right?
Yeah, other competition, for sure.
Is Regal just gone in Colorado, or are they gone nationwide?
I think nationwide, but I'm not positive.
And they were number two to AMC, weren't they?
I think so, yeah. Big.
See, this is the thing. Here's what I want to know, and maybe we'll talk about this after we come back from the break. So let me prep you with this, okay? I'm going to prep you. Your mind working?
Yes, I'm on.
I can just tell.
I just got zapped.
Okay. And, I just got a message here. A Chinese company does own AMC and has also acquired Carmike Theaters, creating America's largest theater chain. They bought Carmike too? Because Carmike was kind of on the downside, but they were still pretty big in a number of places. Are they still in Colorado Springs?
They were. And I think, there were some in Greeley too, I think.
So the Chinese own both. Wow, we'll talk about that a little more when we come back. What was I talking?
Prepping me for the next topic.
Okay. Yeah. Which I just lost. My train of thought, folks, it derails very quickly. But I'm just wondering if they can somehow get these things back up and going again, what is going to be the setting in which they do? And what I mean is this. You know, We already know that they're not going to have the movies, you know, the 90-day thing anymore, where the theater has, you know, lease on it for 90 days and they're not going to release it online for the first 90 days. So you guys can at least make your money.
Yeah, some of the studios have talked about that.
Yeah, Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers. And some others have got blowback from talent. So we'll see what happens.
Blowback from talent?
Yeah, because they don't get paid as much if they don't have those release windows. And I'm not sure exactly how this contract works, but they're not happy about it.
Okay, let's talk about the talent demanding their money, because I agree. Remember, we always talked about the $20 million. And there was more. There was $25, $30. But we always talked about the $20 million check that this big actor or actress would get per movie.
Right.
Right? You know, Sigourney Weaver, whatever is the next Aliens, she would get $20 million. This is going to be heavily affected if they're releasing online. Let's talk about that when we get back, because this could affect bringing back the theaters. Sound good?
Yes.
All right. But first up, American National Insurance. Folks, with fires, blizzards, and just things going wrong, you need someone who always treats you right. Make sure you have the coverage you really need in unpredictable times by calling Paul Leuenberger at 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger of American National Insurance will make you financially whole. Losing your home or vehicle in a disaster will leave an emotional impact, no matter how much insurance you buy, but it doesn't need to hurt you financially. John Rush personally knows homeowners who have ended up in bankruptcy because they didn't have proper insurance. Even after their houses were completely destroyed, they still had to make mortgage payments. Imagine trying to find a new place to live while still paying a mortgage on your old house, which no longer exists. The same thing has happened to vehicle owners who continue to make payments on totaled vehicles because they didn't have enough coverage to make them financially whole. The personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Leuenberger of American National Insurance, will make sure that even in a disaster, you will be made financially whole. Call 303-662-0789 for the coverage you expect.
All right, a good shop is up next. When you've had a car accident, remember, you are still in control. Don't let the insurance company tell you where your car is towed. Have it taken to a good shop where you get great work done by people you can trust. Have this number handy, 720-541-7697. You can fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/collision. But don't forget that number, 720-541-7697. Bad accident? You need a good shop.
After an accident, you just want your vehicle back the way it was as quickly as possible. Before founding a Good Shop Collision Center in North Glen and Commerce City, Al Sturm used to work for some of the big corporate conglomerates, so he has the personal experience to compare the two. Al recently heard from a customer who tried using one of the big corporate shops for some auto body work on his old truck. He waited a month just to get an estimate, only to find out they wouldn't work on older vehicles. At a good shop, Al and his team have the autonomy they need to take care of their customers. You don't want your vehicle tied up any longer than necessary. Because a good shop has three locations, they can get you in for an estimate faster. Al and his team at a good shop are proud to run a certified, independent auto body shop where you're more than just a number. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair worth referring.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush one last day. But good news, John will be back. Reason will come back to Rush to Reason next Monday. So hang in there. Until then, I'm here with Susan Koshvar of the 88 Drive-In. And Susan, something I was looking at before we went to break is the talent.
Mm-hmm.
They're used to these $20, $30 million checks.
Yes.
That ain't happening with 8 to 10 kids crowding together in someone's home at a $20 pop.
No.
Okay. So they've got to go back. And besides which, you've got the vaccine that's going out there, and more people are going to get vaccinated. Dr. Fauci, of course, lies about how many we need. But whatever. More and more people are going to get vaccinated. Not that I care.
Right.
All right. And that's going to bring up the confidence. Okay. But you were mentioning there's still a real problem in the market. Even when they get there with opening up these theaters. What is it?
Well, the National Association of Theater Owners keeps doing weekly polls, and the number of people who felt safe returning to the theater was slightly going up, and now it's going down. Only 43% of the movie-going public feels safe to go back. Interestingly,
why do you think that is?
Because they've had the heck scared out of them by the government, and heck, every single news break on almost every radio station or anything you listen to talks about, oh, the cases are going up, this is terrible,
right.
This many people, you know, died. So it's just scaring the heck out of people. More men, interestingly, feel more comfortable going back than women. Women are more scared about it. But at 43%, you're not going to make your money in your theater for your movie.
That surprises me. Women are tougher. Women give birth. Okay. men are wimps. I don't understand why we feel better going back than women do, but this is ludicrous.
Yeah.
Okay. This is absolutely ludicrous. And by the way, you know who this really hurts? Unfairly so, is states like South Dakota and Florida.
Yeah.
Because right now in South Dakota and Florida, you could seat a theater because not only will their government allow them to do it and allow them to do it with very light restrictions.
Right.
But their people in those states overall, I guarantee you it's not 43% who would go back.
Right.
And by the way, let me add one more thing. That 43% is going to rise fast once they open up because if they have light restrictions, light.
Yes.
Okay. And you're one of these people who, you know, you're afraid of everything. You're afraid of your own shadow. Your own shadow is going to give you COVID and you're going to die. If you are one of those people, you are still seeing your friends at work have fun.
Yeah.
And they're coming in and saying, hey, I just saw the next, you know, a Quiet Place 2
right.
at the theater and it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so cool. And you're going to get jealous. And pretty soon you're going to be looking around and also they're not dropping dead.
Yes.
And you're going to look around and you're going to say, I want to go back. I want to have fun. What do you think?
Yeah, that's my hope.
And by the way, one last thing. Your kids will have friends who are going to things.
Yes.
And their kids are going to, your kids are going to be jealous of those kids. Am I right? So peer pressure alone, once you open it up, is going to pull that number up.
Well, and I think one of the things that's put a big question mark in a good portion of the public was when people could go into restaurants, you had to wear the mask in, you had to sit down, you could take it off, and then you're fine. And
right.
I think people are slowly starting to question. I thought that would actually happen faster, especially when you have North Dakota and Florida where they're not wearing masks and, you know, they're not dropping like flies. You'd think people would start to lose that fear a little faster.
Okay, what do you do with the average theater? As you know today, and sorry for getting a little into the weeds here, folks, but there's a certain distance between you and the people in front. Now, the old-style theaters that were older, you know, the clunkier chairs, they weren't mm-hmm. as deluxe. The people in front of you were closer.
Yeah.
And so if you sneeze or cough, it travels, and they can be more worried about that. On the new theaters, that's 6 feet. Is a given. Your head is at least 6 feet away from the head of the people in front of you. More than that, but we'll still say 6 feet because they're at a lower elevation. You can talk a sneeze, it goes, it drifts down.
Right.
All right. What if, you know, and this is once again asking for the impossible because government never does anything good that helps anyone. They refuse. But hypothetically, okay, if I was the new, you know, leader and I'd be totally corrupt, by the way, just so you know, I'd be absolutely corrupt. If I were the new leader, what if you required a, say, about a 12 to 18 inch shield in front of your seat? And this is in the bigger theaters, the newer theaters, right, where you've got that bigger distance with the big seating. And you had a plexiglass sheet that goes about 12 to 18 feet up. Now, I know you're thinking about the screen, where it is. And you simply say, okay, mount the screens a little higher.
I think you're talking about too much expense for theaters.
But government helps with it because this is going to boom your economy.
Mm. I don't know. I think that it's going to get marked up, people putting their feet on it and things like that. And I think there's one other thing that helps control the force of the virus going forward, and that's your airflow. Because you have your air conditioning coming down, and a lot of that stuff is filtered anyway. So I think the pressure down from that air helps keep that sneeze from going so far anyway. There's another thing I think people are missing, too. If you live in a completely sanitized world, your immune system is dead. We were born in viruses. We have viruses that live in our body. We have bacteria that live in our body.
I name mine, so, but, you know, that's a personal thing.
But I'm not sure that's good for people even. So I think if you feel safe going back, if you want to wear a mask, fine. But I don't think that you should force other people to do the same. I, you know, my immune system apparently has been challenged enough. I'm fine.
What if you had, okay, I'm just trying to see how I can make, it's not people like you and I, that you and me that I'm worried about here. We don't care. We're not
right.
worried. All right. Because why? Because we look at numbers.
Right, okay?
We look at actual numbers. And we say all the other major causes of death have dropped.
Right.
Pretty close to what this has gone up.
Yeah.
And we say, and the overall number, as you said, is about the same for the year. So why are we worrying about this? Okay. But you and I are not the market. We unfortunately have to sell the market we have, not the market we wish we had. And how could we give those people a little bit more confidence in this situation, just something, because here's the number one thing they're going to worry about. They've all seen Outbreak and they've seen the cough, the sneeze, you know, and you've seen the scene where they sneeze and it travels and you see it traveling into people's throats and all this. That is what they've seen, and that's what worries them, is the person behind them sneezing. And wearing a mask isn't going to make them feel any better about that. What do we do?
Well, there's a couple things. If you're worried about that, you could have spaces for people that are concerned to sit at the top, so they don't have to worry about anybody sitting behind them. Even as a person, there are things that you can do to make yourself feel comfortable. And I would be more for letting the market decide. So maybe I'm an indoor and I think, okay, so this one theater is going to, they're all going to wear masks. They can't have any food. They can't, they have to have the shields in front of the chairs like you talked about. This is a theater for people who are concerned. And then we have another theater for people who aren't concerned. Why don't we let the market decide instead of using government force? The other thing that occurs to me, perhaps we should stop coddling people, you know, and let them make their own decisions. Let businesses make their own decisions in serving their customers, and let the customers decide for themselves too.
Oh, amen. And yeah. I totally agree with that. I'm just thinking about the fact that, unfortunately, only 43% of your clientele right now feels safe to go in.
Well, I think
you can't make it on that.
I think that theater owners can figure that out if they're left alone, and they'll figure it out in the best way possible. Just like, you know, the other drive-ins are figuring out very lucrative alternate content. I think you should let people decide for themselves how they want to do that. You know, maybe I want to serve cars, take the food out to cars who are afraid to come in, and then leave my snack bar open for those who are not. There are ways that businesses can resolve these issues with their customers and let freedom and liberty reign.
Yeah, and I agree. And by the way, I think any theater that puts hard restrictions on their customers, especially if they say we're going to contact trace you, I'm out right there.
Me too.
Okay, I can't afford to have 2 weeks of my life taken from me as I'm quarantined because someone happened to be at the same place where I was and they caught this thing.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't do that. But if you have a theater chain that contact traces, I think that's a no-go. I think that's going to kill their business.
Yeah, and that would automatically tell people where the market is.
Okay, let's say you have a theater company that requires masks unless you are physically eating. By the way, you know why part of the reason is that they want you to eat and make money.
Mm-hmm.
So they make money. What about this? Okay. If you have the theaters right now, they've lost the 90-day window. It's been shrunk.
Yep.
Okay, what is it now? 30 days or something?
It depends on the studio, yeah.
Well, that can't continue. I mean, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be pretty much the same across the board pretty soon, or it's not going to be competitive.
Yeah, we'll see how that shakes out. Yeah, I don't
okay.
know yet.
Okay, well, hypothetically. Right. Let's say hypothetically you shrink that window down to 30, 45 days, whatever. If you're going to shrink that window substantially and do any kind of a release online, you know, close to the opening date,
mm-hmm.
then the studio has to charge the theater a lower percentage of the ticket price.
Yes.
They have to.
They do.
They can't say, we're going to take 90% of the ticket price for A Quiet Place 2, even when 2 weeks from now we're going to release it online.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty much what they've said, that
okay.
they're going to charge less.
So what if they charge substantially less? Now, you're the theater owner, mm-hmm. and right now I want you to be running an AMC, not a drive-in for
okay.
a sec, okay? And you understand both, so it doesn't matter. And you're thinking, I want people to want to come in here really fast and watch this. If I get, let's say they say, we're going to release this online in a couple weeks, but we're only going to charge you 50% of the ticket price. See, if I'm running the theater then, I lower my food costs. And I say, okay, my profit margin just leaped on the ticket revenue, so I can lower the cost of my food. And that makes people want to come in more before that 2 week window or 3 week, 4 week window. Now I can sell, because right now I have to sell my food for an arm and a leg.
Right.
Why? Because I'm not making any money on the tickets.
Right. Yep.
Okay. If I'm making half that ticket, okay, and that is, let's say, you know, parents and two kids, okay, that means I'm bringing in an extra $10 on the kids and an extra $16 on the parents. Right?
Right.
Okay. Or let's say $14. That's $24 I just made without selling a single drop of food or, you know, drink.
Right.
So I can actually charge less for my popcorn and everything now. And now people have more reason to come into the theater and not wait anyway. What do you think?
Yeah, that might work. I don't know what the other costs will be. I mean, we're seeing some other crazy pressures on businesses, like some cities. Well, I know Aurora was planning on, and I think Denver, didn't they raise their minimum wage to $15?
You know, Trump has raised what people, honestly, with the 3 years where, and really 2 years, his second and third year where things boomed, the basic minimum wage leaped so far anyway without any government interference. I don't know how much $15 is going to affect it. That's still too high, but
people were employed, and there were fewer workers. So, you know, if you're going to get somebody to work for you, you're going to have to pay them more. That's how it works.
Right. But it used to be $15, you know, was going to be the minimum wage, but everybody was already making 8 or 9. Well, now they're making 13. So that 15 is really not a huge jump.
15 is a lot, because you don't just have that extra, you know.
And by the way,
$2.
I still oppose it.
Yes. But you go also ahead. Have all of the employment taxes on top of that.
Good point.
And now in Colorado, we have the family leave bill. They're going to be taking more of employees, and employers have to match that. So, you know, more will be out of that check now.
That is insane.
And when I have to pay that, even I have to match that, that's that much else I can pay my employees. And I'm telling you, they need the money. So I don't know. It doesn't happen in a vacuum, but I think you might be able to do some food cost reductions.
Yeah, but not huge, because you still have to compensate for the other losses.
Yep.
All right.
Might work.
Shall we go to break?
Yep.
Let's do it. Okay. Folks, Extreme Auto Repair. You want a deal on auto service? Well, veterans, first responders, and Costco members all get 15% off right now on their service at Extreme. But even if none of these apply to you, there are coupons available at extremeautorepair.com. Just go there. They got a big page of them. It's really great. Or give them a call at 303-841-1071. Great service, great deals, Extreme Auto Repair.
You never enjoy going to the dealership for maintenance because you always get the runaround. You'd much rather give your business to a local independent shop, but you assume you have to go back to the dealership to maintain your service contract. You bought the vehicle there, so you need to get it maintained there too, right? Wrong! Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will honor almost all service contracts. You pay your deductible just like you would at the dealership, and Extreme Auto Repair does the work. Two-time AAA award-winning Shop of the Year, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker does their best to make your life easier by offering everything you need to maintain your vehicle for as long as you drive it. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/extreme to find out whether or not Extreme Auto Repair will honor your dealership service contract. Promises kept.
Okay, Flesh and Beck, every legal issue is an obstacle course. It really is. So many hoops to jump through. But Kevin Flesh, F-L-E-S-C-H, he and his people hold your hand and walk you through each step, then get you the best result. Trial tested, trial ready. Flesh and Beck, 303-806-8886 or fleshlawfirm.com.
You go to the grocery store to buy ice cream and end up with a dislocated shoulder. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law has one goal: to make sure you get the medical care you need without worrying about the cost. Your first reaction when you slip and fall tends to be embarrassment and avoidance. You hustle up to get off the floor, tell everyone you're fine, and go home in a hurry. Then, once the adrenaline wears off, you start to realize that you're not fine after all. You end up in the emergency room needing rotator cuff surgery. Suddenly, you're facing upwards of $50,000 in hospital bills. All because of a shopping trip. KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh, will prove the place of business created a dangerous condition, holding them accountable for your medical expenses so you can focus only on getting the treatment you need. Call today for a free, no-obligation consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Golden Eagle Financial, do you know all the best ways to protect your savings from unnecessary taxes? Al Smith does. He knows all the best practices for making sure your money works for you, not the government. After all, it's your retirement, not theirs. Call Al at 303-744-1128, or you can find Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com.
You have the money. Now you need a plan. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial specializes in retirement planning, teaching you how to preserve your wealth so you have enough money to last. You've already done the heavy lifting by saving diligently all of your adult life, but you still feel uncertain about what your retirement will look like. You have the money, now you need the plan. As a fiduciary advisor, Al Smith will show you how to protect your savings from unnecessary taxes, when to file for Social Security, and how to minimize risk. Unlike a stockbroker who earns a commission every time they buy or sell on your behalf, Golden Eagle Financial offers stable, long-term guidance so you know what to expect for you and your family's future. Visit klzradio.com/money to set up a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush for one more day. Susan Koshevar is here with me as well. And on the line, we have Jersey Joe. Joe, how you doing, sir? How you doing?
Andy and Susan, how you doing today?
Pretty good.
We are doing well. Hey, can I ask you, do they sometimes emphasize the you instead of the doing? Because I know it's
absolutely.
How you doing?
How you doing today?
How you doing? I would make a pretty good gangster.
You would. Hey, I initially want to talk about this elusive fair share that Biden thinks the rich aren't paying, but
oh, yes.
I jumped in late on the thing about the minimum wage, which is one of my other favorite topics, and just a couple of things. First, I want to say that, in my opinion, the whole concept of a national federal minimum wage is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
You look at the cost of living in Little Rock, Arkansas, Jackson, Mississippi versus New York or San Francisco. There can be no such thing as a meaningful and appropriate national federal minimum wage. I think that's something states need to set.
And by the way, can I take it a step further? You can't even make it the same for Denver and Greeley.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I would take it one step further and say businesses should set their own wages.
Well, absolutely. We agree. We're just saying and how
states.
Ludicrous it is, right?
Right. Free market. Now, here's some statistics, by the way. Less than 3% of the people in this workers in the United States work for minimum wage. It's actually 2.7% and dropping. And a great number of that 2.7% are people who worked in tip positions like casino dealers, waiters, and waitresses. And I know some waiters who work in some high-end restaurants, and they would, you know, if they would work for free because their wage is such a small percentage of their total income. You go to a Shanahan Steakhouse or a Del Frisco.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your tips are going to be 3 to 4 times your base hourly wage. So it's really an archaic concept that needs to go away at the federal level.
You know, Joe, I went with a company to Michael Jordan's Steakhouse in Chicago. And let me tell you something, the waiters made more on that evening than, you know, most people make in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you go to any of those high-end places, and it's $100 a head, kind of rough rule of thumb. So if there's six of you at dinner, that's a $600 table. And if you're doing a 20% tip, you know, that's a $120 tip. Yeah, they have to share some with the bar backs and have to, you know, share some with the busboys. But they took home $80 on that table alone.
Yeah,
and they're probably doing four tables.
The bottom line is when you raise the minimum wage, all you're doing is cutting off the lowest rungs in the ladder of success. Because you're forcing Susan here to hire fewer people.
Yes.
The people that are working for minimum wage who aren't waiters and waitresses are basically high school kids. But even there, a year ago, when I have these pictures on my computer, do you know what Wendy's and Burger King and McDonald's were starting people in Castle Rock at to flip burgers a year ago? You
what?
Want to guess what that? $14 an hour. I've got the pictures of the help wanted posters. $14 an hour, Castle Rock, a year ago to flip burgers, fresh out of high school, no experience.
Which they have to do, by the way, Joe, because why? In Castle Rock, you have the highest per capita income in the state.
And, and incredibly low unemployment at that time.
Right.
We were at basically full employment.
My wife's in oil and gas, Joe, and she, they have two offices, one here and one down in Houston. Okay. Where do you think is the higher cost of living? It's here by far. Houston is much cheaper. And so you'll always have this push and pull between, you know, the two offices saying, well, should they be paid this much there versus what we're being paid down here? Actually, it's right in line with the cost of living. You're totally right. A national minimum wage is crazy.
Yeah.
Right. And here's something else. And I'm going to, if your listeners want to Google this, if BLS, which is the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, if you Google BLS Table B-3, that comes out every month, and that gives you the average hourly wage in this country, excluding salaried supervisors and managers. Do you know what the current average hourly wage is in this country as of November 2020?
No, what is it?
$29.58 an hour. That's basically $60,000 a year.
No, wow. That can't be. Trump destroyed America.
Right. Oh, and by the way, that is up $1.24 from November of 19. That's a 4% increase. We've had inflation at less than 1%. Yes, wages are still rising by 4%. $29.58 is the current average annual hourly wage for an hourly worker. Again, we're excluding managers, bosses, CEOs.
Sure.
$29.58. That's the average hourly wage in this country.
And those wages, by the way, did not just, you know, fly up with the higher ends. They flew up in the lower ends. That's where they were raising up.
They basically break it down, you know, by construction, manufacturing, financial, one of the lowest, you know, this includes the chambermaids, so that, you know, that make beds in hotels. Yeah, they're down at $17.05, but the lowest number I see is for leisure and hospitality, $17.05. But even many of those leisure and hospitality, which includes casino dealers, and Andy, you used to work in a casino,
yep,
includes a lot of tip positions. So, but everybody else is... by the way, utilities, if you're a lineman for a utility company, $44.60 an hour. If you're working utility trades, you know, if you work running wires, fixing transformers, you're making $90,000 a year. So anyway, it's a great table. BLS table B3, should look at it every month. It's still screaming like a rocket. But I want to talk about fair share. You hear Joe Biden, we need to make the rich pay their fair share. And you see that over and over and over on these liberal websites. And two things. The vast majority don't know how much, quote, the rich are already paying. And two, when you tell them what they are paying and you ask them if that isn't already their fair share, what would be as a percentage of income? And here's some statistics your listeners probably don't know.
Okay, let's hear it.
The top 1% of income earners in this country pay more in federal income taxes than the bottom 90% combined. The top 10% pay 70% of all federal income taxes.
And by the way, let me jump in for a moment. They're not making 70% of the money. Okay, a lot of people will say, well, they're making that much more. Actually, they're making about, what, 30, 40% of the money?
Yeah, I think it's like 38%.
Right, and they're paying 70% of the taxes. Go ahead.
Right, and then they say, well, the Trump tax plan, you know, gave all these cuts to the wealthy and nothing to the middle class. If you were a family of four with two kids under the age of 17 and making the U.S. median household income of $61,372 in 2018, or family of four, $61,000 household income, the Trump tax plan cuts your federal income tax burden by 94%. And you know how much you pay in federal income taxes if you're that family today?
How much?
$104 a year, which is $8 a month. And you get the same benefits of the FDA, USDA, FCC, FBI, CDC, FAA, you name it. You get the, you know, federal highways. You get the exact same benefits.
Oh, Joe.
Can I go further? Yeah.
That's only scratching the surface. The rich barely use government compared to the poor.
Right.
Okay,
exactly.
If you're talking overall, because, I mean, how many welfare services do the rich use? How many of the, you know, emergency rooms do the rich use? How much do the rich use public education? How much do the rich use so many things? The rich are paying for virtually everything, and they're using it at a much smaller pace. First of all, because they don't use several of the services, but moreover, because there's so few of them.
That's true.
Am I right?
Exactly.
I mean, are the rich wearing down our highways with their cars?
Well, by the way, and highways to a great extent are fueled by, excuse me, are subsidized by gasoline taxes.
True.
But all those other federal services, you know, the USDA, CDC, FCC, you know, the U.S. military, you know, the family of four is getting the same national defense protection as the rich. By the way, 47% of the people in this country pay either no federal income taxes or negative income taxes. And people say, well, how do you pay negative income taxes? Very, very simple. If you're that family of four and you make only $55,000 a year, not only do you get 100% of everything you was withheld from your paycheck back, you get more than 100% of what was held. So if your employer held, I'm going to make up a number, held $100 a month from your paycheck, which was $600 a year, you'll get back a $2,600 check. You'll get back $2,000 more than was withheld from your paycheck. That's negative income taxes.
Absolutely.
So then I ask people, well, if 10% paying 70% of all federal income taxes isn't already their, quote, fair share, can you please define what that fair share is? You want to see tap dancing, apoplectic? I have yet, and I've been asking this question for 6 months, I must have asked it 100 times, not a single person. They all want to come back with a punitive tax rate. Well, when Eisenhower was president, we had tax rates as high as 90%. And what they don't realize, when Eisenhower had those 90% tax rates, do you know that the share of total taxes paid by the top 10% was actually lower than it was today?
Agreed.
Because at that, it made no sense if you had money to invest and you could get a 3 or 4% return on a risk-free U.S. Treasury note. You'd be insane to gamble. Every time you know, I'm part of an investment group, we look to, do we want to build this factory? Do we want to put $10 million into a new factory and hope, you know, the products it makes sell? And if everything goes right, we might make $1 million a year on a $10 million investment, which is a 10% pre-tax, and we have to give 35% to the government and 5% to the state. We'll net 6% on the 6%. After-tax profit on a $10 million risk.
Joe, the wealthy are taking all the risk, and then they're paying all the taxes on top of it. Hey, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you and Susan about what happens if Joe Biden puts corporate tax rates back where they were, because I think that's going to be a killer. Can I hold you over?
You most certainly can.
Okay, here we go. Affordable interest mortgage with Kurt Rogers. Take some of that equity in your house, turn it into cash, and Kurt can often do it without increasing the cash flow you're paying out. Just call Kurt Rogers at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net. Affordable interest mortgage, where it's all about you.
You're at the point where you're tired of living in a kitchen that doesn't work, but you're overwhelmed at the thought of a total redesign. Yes, you'd love a new kitchen that works, but you feel daunted by the process. Here's the good news. By hiring the Enchanted Kitchens design team, not only are you guaranteed a gorgeous, functional, finished product, but you also get to hand over all the stress and uncertainty to a team of professionals who know what they're doing. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens has been doing this long enough to know that every kitchen will run into at least one design challenge. But with a team of experienced designers on your side, you won't need to face those challenges alone. Have a conversation now with the Enchanted Kitchens design team and start talking through the process together. Let them make it work for you. Set up a free, no-obligation consultation at the Experience Center. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy, and after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things that I could say about Purefoy Chevrolet, but at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
GIA Insurance shops the entire market for the right plan at the best price. So they must be more expensive, right? Wrong! All of that valuable market research comes as a free benefit to you from Paul and his team at GIA. Get more without paying more.
Happy New Year from Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. Susan Koshevar is with me. And, of course, we have Jersey Joe on the line. Okay, guys, I'm going to put this to you really quick. Joe Biden wants to raise taxes as much as he possibly can. And one of those, the one that actually angers me the most, is the corporate income tax. He wants to put it back up. I feel that cutting that thing really bolstered the economy. Susan, you go first. What do you think?
Well, they'll just drive those corporations back out to other countries.
Yeah, I think so. What do you think, Joe?
Susan is 100% correct. Susan, you don't know this. I used to run a $400 million division for a Fortune 50 company, and I've been in those meetings where we would talk about, do we build it here? Do we build it here? Do we move a factory here? Do we outsource it to a third party? I have personally been involved in setting up manufacturing plants in Mexico, China, and Taiwan because of U.S. corporate tax rates. And if you push them up, you will absolutely do one of two things. You'll either have the corporations will build their plants offshore and keep that money offshore, or worse yet, what's happening more and more is they will outsource the manufacturing. They say, you know, we're not even going to build our own plant. We'll just hire some company in China like Apple does. Apple doesn't own any of those factories. They've decided they're not going to be in the manufacturing business. They're in the design business and the quality control business, but Apple outsources 100% of their manufacturing. I think the only thing they do is they take control of the chipsets. But everything else, that whole phone case, the guts, everything in it, the screen, none of that is made by Apple.
And no.
I'll go one step. Yeah.
That's
I'll
cheap labor overseas. Go ahead.
I'll give you another example. I had a chance to tour the General Electric medical equipment divisions. These are the big MRI machine and CAT scan machines. Do you know that GE does not manufacture a single piece, not even the tiniest scrap of that machine is manufactured by GE? They assemble it. They do the software. They do the design. GE manufactures zero. There is not a single piece of an MRI machine manufactured by GE. They outsource 100% of the manufacturing. They do the assembly. They do none of the manufacturing.
Well, you know what bothers me, Joe, is you have all of these career politicians, and they start investing in companies like China, and then they start passing all kinds of employment legislation, which makes it extremely expensive and difficult to even run those big corporations manufacturing here in the United States. So isn't that lining your pockets? It's bad.
It is. And by the way, you'll never see another pair of U.S. I mean, other than some really high-end stuff, but you cannot cost competitively. I mean, if you looked at two pairs of sneakers in Walmart, one is made in China, and you can buy that pair of sneakers for $19. The other identical pair of sneakers, and I've done the cost now, if you want to manufacture that identical pair of sneakers with U.S. labor, instead of $19, it'll be $31. Mm-hmm. Would you pay the extra $12 for an identical pair of sneakers just because it has Made in the USA label on it? Nobody I know would do that.
No, we don't have slave kids in the basement putting them together.
Well, that's why I think China is so mad at Trump, because what he wound up doing was bringing the corporations back. And then we also saw some of those corporations moving into other countries like Vietnam and out of China because, you know, he increased those tariffs, which will change the market somewhat.
Okay, guys, that'll do it. Joe, Jersey Joe, thank you so much for joining us once again. I'll talk to you next week. Sound good?
My pleasure, Andy. Talk to you again.
You bet. And Susan Koshvar, thank you so much for joining me. It was a blast. And next time I do this, we'll definitely have you back. Folks, that'll do it for today. Crawford Roundtable is next. Thanks for listening this week. And thanks to John Rush for trusting me with this microphone. John will be back Monday. Until then, drive safe. God bless. And thanks for joining us at Rush to Reason. KLZ 560.